from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Great to have you all here on a lovely Upstate Tuesday morning. I have, not that those of you listening to the show didn't already know this, but spectacular news. There are zero more Saturdays in the year of 2024 that don't contain football. Zero more Saturdays where we will wake up and not have game day. Zero more Saturdays where we will wake up and not have Kirk and Reese and the boys on a Saturday morning. Zero more Saturdays where we will wake up and not look at the watch and go, all right, three more hours to kick and then 14 hours of Saturday college football after that. And oh, by the way, we got a good slate of NFL preseason games this week. We got a couple of them on Thursday night, a few more on Saturday, a handful wrapped up on Sunday as well. And once we get those in the back pocket, ladies and gentlemen, just like that, the NFL season will be upon us as well. Can't wait. Let's go. Hey, we're talking college football on the show so far this morning. We've talked a little Big Ten so far today. We will talk some Southeastern Conference on tomorrow's show. For those of you that have asked where the SEC talk is, that's coming up tomorrow on the program. We'll deep dive that conference as well. But let's stick with the Big Ten right now. Is there a wild card in the Big Ten this year? Is there a team that we are not talking about? Is there a team we have not gotten to? Is there a team that might jump up and bite some folks? Let's get into that a little bit. Now, I'll start with one that I don't know if it is a wild card, but I will say that if you believe a head coach being on the hot seat, if you believe a head coach being in danger is the type of head coach that becomes dangerous to everybody else, are we writing USC off before this season starts? It's a top 25 team. They rank at 23. Problem is, last year, they checked in as high as a top 5 team, and they definitely weren't that. They started the season 6-0. Caleb Williams was considered all but a lock for the Heisman Trophy last year, and then it all fell apart. Started 6-0, lost 5 out of their last 7 games. One of those wins, by the way, was a win over Louisville in the Holiday Bowl, which I don't count or care about when it comes to season rankings looking in retrospect. But that win moved USC to 8-5, the worst ever finish for Lincoln Riley as a head coach. The dude has been, I'm sorry to say, lackluster as a head coach at USC. This team ranks 71st in ESPN S&P Plus's returning production ranking, including 95th on offense. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact that Caleb Williams is gone. And Caleb Williams was a big part, if not the big part, of the USC offense last year, losing the first overall NFL draft pick this year. Of course, that is going to take some shine off the metaphorical apple here. But they do bring in a blue chipper in Malachi Nelson. They lost blue chipper Malachi Nelson, who transferred to Boise State. Maybe not a big loss, by the way, because Boise State announced yesterday that Malachi Nelson did not win their set. Could you imagine, Lonzo, transferring away from LA, transferring away from USC, transferring away from the Song Girls, and then not winning the Boise State starting quarterback job? Ouch, bro. Big ouch. Anyway. USC.
Sorry, I have no words for that. I just
Yeah. Imagine leaving the sunshine and blue skies of sunny Los Angeles, California. Imagine leaving the Song Girls, the best looking group of gals in college football. Imagine leaving all of that behind to go to Boise, Idaho, and end up being the backup quarterback when you likely, though not guaranteed, but likely would have been the starting quarterback for the USC Trojans had you stuck it out. Hey, man, it's your decision, but adult opportunity comes with adult consequences, does it not? All right.
Maybe you just didn't want to go to Big Ten country. Maybe that's what it was.
That was it. So he went to Boise, Idaho, noted tourist attraction.
What conference is Boise State in now?
Mountain West, really? I believe.
Okay, all right.
You know, again, at least you don't have to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan when you can play your games in beautiful Boise, Idaho.
If I had the choice between Boise and Ann Arbor, I'm probably going with Boise.
I mean, you are. But you would also take a guaranteed win over Michigan over a national championship game. So, you know, it is what it is.
Did I say that? Did I say that? I think.
I mean, you didn't. I think I said no to it.
I think I said Ohio State fans would say that. I didn't say I said that.
Right, but you're an Ohio State fan.
Absolutely.
So you would say that.
Well, you didn't ask me personally if I said that, so that's what I'm saying.
I assume when you said Ohio State fans, as you are one of them, that was your point.
Although I am a person of the people and speak for them often, I cannot speak for all Ohio State fans.
I thought you could. I thought that was literally your job, was to be the voice of the horse chestnuts.
All right, so I'm trying to downplay it. Absolutely, I want to beat Michigan over a national championship. Won plenty of national championships, you know?
It's a
historic.
Overrated.
The blue blood team, you know, it's not, act like you've been there. We've been there, okay? Michigan needs to be beat. And I said we, because as you just pointed out, I am representative of all Ohio State fans. So, yeah, let's last year doesn't even count because they cheated. And we know they cheated. Everyone knows they cheated. It should be stricken from the records.
Stricken from the records.
Strike it from the records.
USA also lost leading wide receivers Taj Washington and Brendan Rice to the NFL. They lost Mario Williams and Dorian Singer to the transfer portal. On the flip side, defensively, they do return some starters to a unit that finished 119th in total defense last season. They do have a new coordinator in Deonten Lynn who will step into the job. Here's the good news for USC if there is any this year. The good news for the USC Trojans is that the schedule being in the Big Ten is relatively manageable. They do start on the 1st of September with a matchup against number 13 LSU. That game is in Las Vegas. And while for a lot of teams that would likely look to be a USC home game, LSU fans are certifiably bat bleep insane. That's going to be a 50-50 mix at the best. I wouldn't be shocked if it even had a 55-45 slight lean LSU. But after that, they got Utah State in week two. Week three, September 21st, they visit Ann Arbor for the first time as a member of the Big Ten Conference. After that, Wisconsin, Minnesota. They do have Penn State on October 12th, but the Nittany Lions come out to sunny South Central to take on the Trojans. That is a home game for the LA school. They're at Maryland, back home against Rutgers, up at Washington, and a Pac-12 rivalry renewed. Then they go back to LA to welcome in the Cornhuskers of Nebraska. They finish up at UCLA on November 23rd, and on the 30th, they are back home to renew their rivalry with the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. That's a manageable conference schedule, though they do have the bookends of an LSU opener and a Notre Dame closer. I hate to say I'm a believer in Notre Dame this year, because I'm not a believer in Notre Dame, but I do think under Marcus Freeman, if nothing else, the roster he's put together for Notre Dame should make them competitive enough just with talent on the football field. We'll find out. Outside of the bookends, Lonzo, USC avoids the Buckeyes. They have to go to Ann Arbor, but they got Penn State coming to the house. I'm not ready to say USC is a wild card, because they were bad last year and they lost a ton of talent. What I am saying is Lincoln Riley has got to feel like his back is against the wall a little bit. And if that is any motivation to a guy who got this job for a reason, I'd like to think there's a little gas in the tank for USC. I am putting them in that same category that I'm putting, say, SMU and NC State. I don't think they win the conference. I do think they have a say in who does.
Well, it's brutal. Everybody else playing, but don't downplay Penn State. Penn State every two or three years has a really good team. I mean, they're ranked for a reason. I think Penn State can take USC. And even though I've been dogging Michigan all day because it's my job, they may be down this year, but they're not going to be that down. And I think they can handle USC also. The only West Coast team that's coming over that really has a shot at it is probably Oregon. Maybe Washington.
I would agree with that.
Maybe Washington. I don't know. What do you got with Washington?
Washington's not a threat. Washington lost Roma Dunze. They lost Michael Penix Jr. They lost Kalen DeBoer, the guy that put all that together. And on top of that, did you know, we're going to talk about this coming up in a minute, did you know that some front offices, Lonzo, are hiring general managers now? Have you heard of this?
Well, I read about it because you put in the before that. No, I had not.
I hadn't either.
But do you know what that's more proof of?
Oh, we're NFLizing?
Yes.
The college football landscape.
Yes.
I was unaware that some schools have begun to hire general managers. Washington, the Huskies, and Kalen DeBoer had a general manager. That general manager followed Kalen DeBoer over to the University of Alabama. That general manager's name is Courtney Morgan. Courtney Morgan is not only a general manager who put together the roster that took the University of Washington to a national championship appearance last year, but Courtney Morgan is a general manager who is now getting paid $825,000 per year by the University of Alabama to be their general manager. We're going to come to that here in just a handful of minutes.
Yeah, because I'm looking up trying to figure out what the heck a general manager in college football does.
I've got some ideas after having read a little bit more about Courtney Morgan after I read that story this morning. And maybe I'm a dumb out of touch radio guy, but I had not heard that schools were going with GMs now. But here we are with Alabama, one of the biggest schools in the country, going with a GM. They're paying just a tick shy of $1 million a year to do it. Very interesting.
So even in the GM definition from AI Overview, whatever that is, Overlords might as well be, says players and coaches handling contracts, negotiations, and free agents.
So that is what a general manager does in the professional level.
Well, this is for sure. I'm just saying that's what it says in this definition for college GM, because I specifically put that in.
Okay. I mean, listen, I get it, right? And speaking of contracts and money, our guy Mike Gundy decided to get back into the mix yesterday with a couple of bites, so we're going to come to that here in a minute as well. I'm not shocked by that at all, and I do want to make a segment out of that, so we'll come back around to it. Want to finish up the thought on Penn State here. There are some takes that I hate to issue because the takes are what they come across as lazy. They come across as a take that everybody has. They come across as a take that it's like, all right, what ground are you breaking with this take? And with this take, the answer is there's not really any ground being broken here. With this take, there's not really any ground that I am going to make. I mean, we can try to put our thumb on the reasons why this take exists, but I think if we could, so would James Franklin. I don't trust Penn State as far as I can throw James Franklin, and I haven't worked out in a while, so that's probably not very far. Penn State, great one, has had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to win a big game and place themselves into the national conversation around college football, and they have just failed and failed and failed again, to the point that I am looking at Penn State, and I'm thinking, this team, even with Drew Lar, this team isn't any better than any of the other teams, I don't think, that James Franklin has had so far this year. This team isn't any more impressive than any of the other teams that James Franklin has put together. And if he's not been able to do it for any of the other seasons, why would I expect that to, for some reason, suddenly change now? Why would I expect Penn State to suddenly get to the next level? Now, the answer might be because Penn State might be the team that most benefits from the expanded playoff because they're always just right outside that pecking order. But again, even with six top 12 finishes under James Franklin, they're not beating Michigan and they're not beating Ohio State. And if they're not beating those two teams, why in the world would I believe that there's another step forward in them? I don't.
I'm so shocked you haven't mentioned Matt Rhule once.
I mean, you know, we got to talk some Husker ball coming up. A lot of Husker fans in the hood. We'll talk a little Matt Rhule later in the show. When we do come back in a minute, let's talk a little bit about that Courtney Morgan story. A general manager hired by the University of Alabama to the tune of $825,000 a year. Is that story off-putting to you? We'll address that when we come back. I am Rob. He is Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown and the great Melonzo with you here on the show. Be a part of the show. You can text the 71307 is the text line. Start that text with Fan, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. Texter said, Clemson fan here. I'll take a loss to Carolina for a guaranteed natty all day. Hush, Lonzo. We have two to your last one. 31-0, baby.
Last time Clemson and Carolina, Clemson and Ohio State faced each other, it was ugly for Clemson. And also, as far as national championships go, okay, historically, Ohio State's got you beat. Sorry.
Texter said, Rob, missed Raw. Did anything of note happen in the wrestling world? Yeah, a few things of note happened. As Lonzo pointed out earlier, not a great week to be a fan, a friend of the show, and a professional wrestler. Real bad record for the Rob Brown Show in the pro wrestling ring this past week. So we'll get to your Fight Club coming up this Thursday at 9:20 when Lonzo takes us into the world of professional combat sports. But did want to get to this story real quick. The University of Alabama has signed football general manager Courtney Morgan to a new precedent-setting contract following a summer approach from USC. According to ESPN, Morgan will now earn an average of $825,000 annually under the three-year contract, a deal that bolsters his place. Oh, there's that word, Lonzo. Bolsters his place as college football's highest paid front office figure. The new deal was approved by the University of Alabama Board of Trustees yesterday, but sources tell ESPN the updated contract was agreed upon a number of weeks ago. It just took some time to make it official. Morgan's upgraded salary figures were initially reported by 24/7 Sports. Morgan is the GM behind Washington's 2024 national runner-up finish. Stands among college football's highest rising stars with this contract. Spent the past two seasons with Kalen DeBoer at Washington. Followed the 49-year-old coach to Alabama earlier this year when they replaced Nick Saban with Kalen DeBoer. The former Michigan, San Jose State, and Fresno State staffer has been critical in assembling a 2025 recruiting class that sits second nationally in ESPN's latest team rankings for the cycle. Initially, I read this, and I was like, oh, goodness gracious, the old heads are about to get real, real mad, because how do you NFL-ize college football even more than creating and paying mucho dinero to a general manager?
Any local colleges around here looking to hire a general manager, Rob and I both available separately, not as a team, and we're willing to make at least as much as this person did.
I mean, I'd be willing to go as a team, Lonzo. We can split $825,000 a year. I'd be okay with that.
Okay. So I'll work Tuesday and Wednesday, and you can work Monday, Thursday, and Friday.
And then how do I get the extra day for a split salary?
We both work on Saturday because you're a knower of ball. You have a PhD and only have a GED. So, I mean, you know.
All right, fine. I get 425. You get 400. I'll work the extra day.
Dude, you can have 700 and I'll take 100. I'm good with that. I'm good. I'll take that.
Listen, this is, and having read up on, and again, I don't think it is super well covered, but in having read up on what Courtney Morgan does, guys, he's basically director of recruiting. Is basically what he does. Now, my understanding is he obviously is going to assist in the land of NIL. He's obviously going to assist in making sure that NIL contracts are good, that they are valid, that the school is protected, that the team is protected, that the obviously the players are protected, yada, yada, yada. But that is an added responsibility to what, to me, is effectively a repackaging of recruiting director for a major school. I guess my thought remains, I'm not super concerned about the NFLizing of college football when nothing has really changed. But here is a cat making $825,000 for a off-the-field role. And you guys are mad about a couple of football players making a few thousand dollars from a local wing joint to promote some wings.
I knew you work your way around to that eventually. But again, it all comes down to they're no longer student athletes. This is a business. A business requires extra oversight, including general managers.
But here's the thing. They rebranded it. It's not a new position. He's director of recruiting. He's just got another job responsibility. Again, we will fight until it happens, until the schools pay them. They are not employees. They are athletes who are now able to take their athletic fame and make money elsewhere. But no, I am not going to bash players for making a few grand from Bob's used cars when Courtney Morgan is getting paid almost $1 million a year to be recruiting director. Like I don't feel bad about it. When they get paid from the school for which they play, then we can call the employees. And before you hit me with, they get the room and the board and that, okay, but they've always gotten that. So have they always been employees?
Again, they're getting paid from outside, but it's still getting paid to play. If they weren't playing, they wouldn't be getting paid. So I just, it's an argument that it's useless because neither one of us is going to back down and I'm right.
But you're not though. When I read an endorsement from a company on the air, it doesn't make me an employee of that company. But in any definition of the word. All right. So Courtney Morgan, a GM for Alabama, catching $825K a year moving forward to be glorified recruiting director. Are we good with it? Or does this make you concerned that it is another step in the direction of professionalizing amateur sports? We'll talk more about that later on. Plenty more college football to get to as the show rolls on. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. The The Rob Brown Show carries on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Lonzo, when you join our live stream, by the way, at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. We stream to all of those locations all 4 hours, all 5 days, all weeks of the year, except when we're not here, in which case we won't. You'll just have to deal with it. Zach asks, will you have the Move in the Chains boys on Friday this week? The answer, Zach, is yes. Got a chance on Sunday to catch up with our boy Kevin from Move in the Chains. He and either John or Jarrell will begin their weekly segments with us on Fridays.
Come on, we're not getting Jarrell. We had him like twice. He's so amazing that it's a limited appearances, I guess.
Jarrell's the only dude I know that is worse than me at saying I'll be there and then not being there. He's the only guy I know that makes me look good in that capacity, you know? So we'll see. I'm sure we'll get some time out of our guy Jarrell Hendricks this year. Looking forward to that. Kev will be here for sure, and either John or Jarrell will be here with him, and then some combination of two of the three will be with us every Friday through the remainder of the high school football season. And don't forget, of course, every Friday night, Burns High School football right here on the Fan Upstate with the voice of the Burns Rebels, Cole Bryson. He's back in the box this year. Burns football is going to be on the road every week this year as historic Nixon is getting that renovation it has so desperately needed. Make sure you check out Cole and my guys, Sam and Lane, every Friday night for Burns Rebels High School football right here on the Fan Upstate.
Don't forget Saturday, dude.
And the Saturday morning scramble. That's right. With Cole Bryson and friend of the show, Alex Guest, will be airing every Saturday at 8 a.m. They will discuss the evening's football before and take you through the results in the standings of the high school football season. The Saturday morning scramble airs every Saturday at 8 a.m. with Cole Bryson and Alex Guest. And of course, while we're telling you about all of the incredible programming that takes place right here on the Fan Upstate, don't forget, the Fan Upstate is your home for Furman Paladin football this year and every year. The voice of the Paladins, Dan Scott, climbing back in the box with Tom Van Oy. They will get their season going August 31st, just 11 days away from the kickoff of the 2024 Furman Paladin season. They kick off big road test out of the gate. They are down in Oxford, Mississippi, when they take on Joey Freshwater, a.k.a. Lane Kiffin, and his Ole Miss Rebels on August 31st. They return back to FU on September 7th. A little nighttime action when Charleston Southern comes to town. They have three night games this year. Great one. Three night games in a row. This year, the Charleston Southern game, 6 p.m. kick from Paladin Stadium, and they are calling it FU After Dark, the Trilogy. I am all in on the FU branding. Let's go. Furman, back in action.
You really expect me to comment on that? Because I don't want to be negative about, you know, a team that we care. I just don't care for the
FU one time.
Come on.
FU two times.
No, don't do it.
FU three times.
Oh, really? Come on.
FU all the time, baby.
Wow.
How about the Dins?
Wow.
August 31st at Ole Miss, back home September 7th against Charleston Southern, and then September 14th, 2 p.m., when they take on the Hatters of Stetson before going back on the road the 21st night of September at William & Mary. Dan Scott and Tom Van Oy on the call for you all season long. All right. We got a couple of minutes here in coming up in this segment. One thing I'd like to do in the next hour of the show, and we addressed this a little bit last week, we're going to kind of keep rolling through it. the schools with the most difficult schedules entering the 2024 season. Whomps are they, and how do they survive? I'm going to give you number one out of the gate. The number one school, in my opinion, this year, with the most difficult schedule, and it's real, real bad for the guy that's in charge, but my goodness, the Florida Gators have themselves quite a schedule ahead of them, including a great one, ending the season with five consecutive games against teams ranked inside the AP top 13. They end the season in Jacksonville against number one Georgia. Then they go to Austin to play number four ranked Texas, back home for number 13 LSU, back home for number six Ole Miss, and then on the road at number 10 Florida State. What a ride that Billy Napier, a coach that's already on the hot seat, has to take his team on to wrap the season. And oh, by the way, that doesn't include opening up against number 19 Miami, 2 weeks later playing the Colt, Texas A&M, 2 weeks after that on the road at number 15 Tennessee. Lonzo, over half of Florida's schedule this year, over half of their schedule are AP top 20 teams, not 25, not 30, not 50. Over half of Florida's games this year are against AP top 20 teams. Good freaking luck, Florida. Florida might not be bowl eligible at the end of this year. That's not a joke.
Yeah, but it's going to hurt me to say this. What if they are successful against all that? What if they were?
Then Billy Napier is going to receive some sort of Medal of Honor from the University of Florida.
No, if they're successful in at least a bunch of that, they'll be in the mix for a playoff game.
There is, and let me be very clear about this, and I'll do it now while noted little brother and Gator fan is in the audience right now. There is a 0% chance this team sniffs a playoff seed. 0% chance, because there is a 0% chance this team is doing better than 8-4 at the absolute. I'll give you the Samford win. I'll give you, though I don't think it's a guarantee, the Mississippi State win. I'll give you the UCF win. Hell, for the sake of discussion, I'll give you the Kentucky win. And what the hell, for funsies, I'll give you a Florida State win to wrap the year. That's five. Where's the other three between Miami, A&M, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, LSU, and Ole Miss? Where's my three wins to get to eight? This team
may not
be bowl eligible.
You trust Tennessee? I don't know about that.
Yes. Big in on Tennessee. They got a wide receiver
in on Tennessee every year. It's this.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not a Tennessee guy. Mm-hmm. I am this year.
Mm-hmm. You were a big North Carolina guy last year too, was that the year before?
I was a what guy?
North Carolina guy.
Yeah, North Carolina was
it the year before? Which was the year where they just did really, really bad?
I don't think they've had a year where they did really, really bad. They didn't get to the ACC title game, but also, who in the hell expected Florida State to do what Florida State did last year? Literally nobody. So I don't feel bad about it. Tennessee is going to be dynamic on offense this year, like dynamic. Nico Amoliva is going to be, I'm not ready to say he's going to be in New York at the Heisman Trophy celebration. I wouldn't be shocked if he is. Florida is going, honestly, they'll be fighting for 6-6 this year. I think this is Billy Napier's last year, 6-6 at the best for the Gators. Now, the national champion of sports flashes, Lonzo.
I'm at least vying for it, you know, going to strive for heights unyet achieved. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has criticized former head coach Brian Flores during an interview with Dan Labrador yesterday. Tua described Flores as hypercritical, saying that Flores openly questioned his ability and talent, stating that he hadn't earned the right to be an NFL quarterback. Flores entered multiple legal suits for discrimination against the Dolphins after he was fired and replaced by current coach Mike McDaniel. Los Angeles Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert was spotted practicing with the team yesterday, the first time he's been seen under center since being diagnosed with a plantar fascia injury in his right foot in late July. I do believe that is that's French. Wire to Wire today, 3-7 right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.